In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who became children of God, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was
pledged
to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to
divorce
her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. What is
to take
Mary to
home
as your wife, because what is
conceived
in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to
fulfill
what the Lord had said through the prophet. The
Virgin
will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no
union
with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
After Jesus was born in Judea during the time of Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was born. "In Bethlehem, in Judah," they replied, "for this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Now, boys and girls, who likes a birthday? Yeah, I thought so. That's pretty unanimous. Basically, everyone loves birthdays. And why do you actually celebrate your birthday? Yeah, Sophie?
Because it's when you were born.
Yes, very good. It's when you were born. And you remember it each year as the same day comes by that you are 1 year older. And you remember the day you were born. And that's maybe why it's called a birthday. I thought, doesn't work in Dutch, but in English it actually works. So, if we then think of the Christmas story, and we now, in this time of the year, we remember that Jesus was born. And in one, you could say it's like remembering his birthday. It's what the children in the video said, remember. It must have been like a birthday party. And there, more than 2,000 years ago, the shepherds came, and there were all sorts of people, and they celebrated the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. And it was like the very first birthday of the Lord Jesus. Now, you all said you like a birthday. Why is that? Why do you like your birthday? What do you get, Aline?
Presents.
Presents, good. What else do you get? Presents, Edward? Cake, good job. Finn? Do you get Christmas food? Well, yeah, good food as well, right? If you maybe it's your birthday around Christmas time? Or not? Sophie? Yes, a party. So we've got presents, and you get cake, and you get a party. What else? What do you get more? Get else for your birthday? What else? Can you remember one more thing? So when you get all the children to your party, how do they know there is a party? Sirlin? Invitations, yes. That's a big part of a birthday as well. You send out cards and invitations. And you get cards for people who want to say congratulations. Now, remember those things. Presents, cake, cards, a party. And I want to look at from these things at the birth of Jesus. And see how those things come to us from the Word of God. We have read from the Bible earlier on, and those parts from the Bible, they actually tell us a bit about these things. The first one I want to think about for a moment is cake. I brought a cake with me here, and it's one of these that is very traditional, I hear, a Christmas cake for this time of year. So I don't think Jesus had this sort of cake, to be honest, but it does the job. A Christmas cake. And what makes this cake, if we want to make it into a birthday cake, what do we need?
Candles.
Candles, yes. We need candles. So, brought a few of those too. A candle. So if I put this on it now, oh, this is way too hard, this doesn't even work. It works a bit. Okay, one candle on it. What does this mean? Yes. If we give this birthday cake to a child, it means the child turned 1 year old. So we celebrated that a while ago for Joanne. But when we grow a bit older, what do? Edward? Yes, yes, we need more candles. So we need more candles. Someone 2 years old and 3 years old. Oh, that doesn't work. Yeah. The packet said they needed to be 10 centimeters apart. I don't know how you want to do that, but maybe it becomes a big fireball if you light it. It's not a good idea. Don't try it at home. So this is, for example, five candles on it now. it means the child has, well, the boy or girl turns 5, right? What do we do now, for example, for Dora? Remember, a while ago, Dora turned 100, and she was given a cake. But we can't put 100 candles on here, can we? That doesn't work. No, it's not enough room, you're right. It would be full of candles, and we need the sides as well, and it would become a bit dangerous, I think. So, I remember, Dora, we had put one candle on it. One candle, and it meant like 100 years. Now, how many candles do we need for the birth of Jesus? Oh, Edward? Yeah, more than 2,000. So even if we do it this way, as with Dora, and 100 is one candle, we would still need more than 20 candles. So it actually means, because Jesus is still alive, remember, Jesus rose again from the dead, and he's now in heaven, he is still alive. So he's more than 2,000 years old. But actually, we heard from the reading that Sherlyn read to us from John chapter 1 that 20 candles isn't enough. Because before Jesus came to this earth and became a child, Jesus already lived too. Because Jesus is not a normal child, but he is a very, very, very special child. And Jesus was already alive before that. In the time of the Old Testament, when Abraham was alive and King David, Jesus lived. And even when the world was made, in the reading that Sherlyn read for us, it said, through him, through Jesus, all things were made. And it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word there is a very special name for Jesus. So even 20 candles wouldn't be enough. In one sense, it would be enough, because we remember that very special day in world history when Jesus came to this earth to live here as a human being. But in another way, thinking about the very special person that Jesus is, we would need many, many more candles. So in that reading that Sherlyn read to us, we see these things come together. And the Word of God then said, the Word became flesh, that means a human being, and made his dwelling. He lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in the reading that Leland read for us, he said they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. So that already tells us this time that we now have, a celebration of the birthday of Jesus, is a very, very special time. A very, very special birthday. God himself comes to this earth. Well, there was another reading then, the final reading that Sophie and Joey did for us. And that told us of, well, you could say it's a bit like a party. And we saw it with the children with the scooters in the video. And they gave gifts and they said, it's like a birthday party. Because they brought presents. We've got 2 packed here. And these actually say what Jesus comes to give us. Peace and love. And there's some more under the tree there. But they brought presents. Now, on a birthday, who gives presents to you? If you are celebrating, yeah, Leland. Dad, yeah, mom and dad, or your grandparents maybe, or friends, yes, your friends who come along, they give you presents. Do you ever get a surprise visit though? Maybe like a king from a different country, or the prime minister of some other country, and they suddenly come along. That would be weird, wouldn't it? Yeah? It's okay. That's what happened with Jesus. When he was born, very unexpected guests came. First on the night itself, the shepherds came. But later on, these wise men came. And they came from a very faraway place. And they had traveled a great distance and they had done a lot of effort. But had Mary and Joseph sent them an invitation card? No. No. Who had given the invitation? God, yes. And how had God done that? Yeah. With a star. So God himself gave an invitation for them with the star that appeared. And that meant, go to Bethlehem. Because a king has been born. So God himself, so they did it and they traveled a far distance. A lot of effort. Again, they couldn't take the plane or a boat or a train. They had to travel maybe weeks or months to get to Israel, to Jerusalem. And when they then came there, you'd think, well, Mary and Joseph would be very honored, right, to have such important guests, and they were very rich. And you think, wow, Joseph and Mary would maybe bow for these men or thank them for their coming. But what did actually happen? Do you remember? What did they do when they came?
They went to King Herod.
Yeah, first they went to King Herod, but when he got to the manger and saw baby Jesus, Sherlyn? Yes. Exactly. So these very important men, the rich men from a different country, they come and not Joseph and Mary thanking them and they are very glad. But these men, they bow down and they bring and they give gifts to baby Jesus. So these important men, they bow before a newborn baby, a very young child. Why did they do that? And these gifts, they weren't ordinary gifts, but they were like somebody giving you maybe like a car or a house or a bag full of gold. It was very expensive things. It's gold and frankincense and myrrh. It means very expensive spices and perfumes. And why did they do that, you think? Why did they do that? I think they knew, they understood, they believed that this was not a normal child. They knew this was a very special child. And that's why they came and worshipped and did such a great effort and gave him very expensive gifts. Now, we've seen now in two different ways, with the cake and with the presents, that Jesus is very, very special. He is God with us. And he is a king worthy of worship. And there's a third thing. And we saw that in the middle reading, the second reading. Let me first show you these. This is actually from the Netherlands. These are the ones from our children. In the Netherlands, when a child is born, most of the people hear it through a card like this, like a birth announcement card. And it tells you the name and when the child was born, and maybe how big it was, or how you can contact the parents to come over for a visit. And with these cards, you share the good news. And you make an announcement. A baby is born. And we thank God. But sometimes Christians, they put a Bible verse on it. And they say, we want to thank God for the birth of this child. So now, when Joseph and Mary would have done such a thing for Jesus, I thought maybe it would look a bit like this. We give thanks to God for our son. His name is Jesus. And they would put something on it. Because that name was very important. And it was told to Joseph and to Mary actually by the angel. Because the angel had said, call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. From Joseph and Mary. And maybe, well, come to us in Bethlehem or so. Maybe they put that on it. But I don't think. The important thing is, this announcement is truly good news. Much bigger even than just the birth of a child that you send a card for. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. Because this is good news, but it's got a word in there that we need to think about for a moment. That word, sins. Because that tells us actually something that is not good. So how is this an announcement of good news that we can now celebrate? Why is this a time of joy? Maybe in a week's time, when you get your gifts, sometimes you get maybe a remote-controlled car or another toy. But then after a week, it's broken. And you think, what do we do now? And maybe you ask your dad to fix it. And to fix something that is broken, you first need to know that it is broken. And you need to accept that it is broken. If your dad says, well, let me fix it for you, but you say, no, it's fine as it is, it will never get fixed, will it? Or if you feel ill, if you don't feel well, and you actually need medicine from your parents or from the doctor to get well, if you say, oh, I'm not ill, I'm nothing wrong with me, nobody will be able to help you. And nobody can fix what is wrong with your body. Now, it's a bit the same with sins. First, we need to know that there is a problem in us, in our hearts. And we need to accept that we need fixing. What sort of problem is that maybe then? Well, think of it. If maybe you have got a brother or a sister, do you ever fight? Or do you find it difficult to share your toys? Do you find it so easy to start thinking about yourself? And it's the same for the grown-ups, including myself. And we so often forget God, don't we? Or we say mean words to each other. And all these things, they come out of a heart that is broken. The problem is deep in us. And that's why there is so much going wrong in the world. There is a problem that needs fixing. And we need to accept that and know that. And that's then why this is such good news. Because it says Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Jesus comes to fix the problem. Jesus comes to fix our broken hearts so that we can be right again. And therefore, as we then celebrate Christmas this year, we need to remember that. Why did this super special child come to this earth? It was to fix our broken hearts, to save us from sin. And he did that by living a perfect life, a life that we should have lived. But at the end of that life, some 2,000 years ago, he died on that cross. He died as a punishment for sin, for all the brokenness. And he paid that punishment for you and me, in our place. And the good news then is that he didn't stay dead there on the cross, but he rose from the dead. And as I said earlier on, he's still alive, because now he is king in heaven. And he still rules and reigns, and he is alive. And he did that so we can be right with God. So therefore then, as you celebrate Christmas this time of year, and as you look forward to your presents and to that party and a good meal, think about what is the most important of all. Remember what it is really all about Jesus, about this Son of God who came to this world to save us from sin, to fix our broken hearts of boys and girls and of men and women. And in the Bible, if you would read the rest of the Bible, you see so clearly what we should be doing with this message. We shouldn't just crumble this and think, well, this is a useless cart. I'll throw away the announcement of good news. We shouldn't do it as if it is like the wrapping paper around your presents. Crumble it. Chuck it away, useless stuff. That would be the wrong way to deal with this good news, this announcement of great news. Now, what we should be doing with it is treasure it and put it in our hearts and believe it and do what the wise men did. We worship Jesus. In the first reading that Sherlyn read for us earlier on, it had these verses. Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Many people did not believe and put him on the cross even. But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that's truly the best gift you can receive this Christmas, that we can be a child of God, sins forgiven. And that's all because of that super special child, Jesus, whose birthday we remember this time of year. So remember that this year. Let's pray now. Dear God, Father in heaven, thank you so much for that enormous gift. Thank you for your love for us, that you gave your only Son so that all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Father, help us to remember that in all the joys we have this time of year, when we unpack our presents, when we eat cake perhaps, when we celebrate, Father, help us to remember the true reason for all the joy. Give us that hope and peace that we can only find in Jesus. Help us to trust you with our whole lives, we pray. Amen.